From National Public Radio News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. The House is expected to vote later tonight on the compromise budget and immigration legislation that was worked out by negotiators for the White House and Congress early this morning. The Senate is expected to add its approval Monday, clearing the way for Congress to adjourn and for members to return to their districts to campaign for re-election. President Clinton praised the bipartisan budget plan, saying that it shows what can be accomplished when politicians abandon extremism and start working together. The top economic policymakers of the group of seven industrial nations met today in Washington and agreed to work together to keep their economies growing without inflation. Steve Beckner of Market News Service reports.
Compared to some of their past meetings, the G7 had little to argue about. On behalf of his fellow finance ministers and central bankers, Treasury Secretary Robert Rubin read a bland statement hailing the non-inflationary growth their nations have been enjoying and welcoming recent exchange market developments. He was referring to the dollar's rebound over the past year after a long decline. German central bank head Hans Tietmeyer warned any weakening of the dollar would be problematic. Rubin went into the meetings determined to make sure Japan pursues fiscal and monetary policies that ensure continuation of its recovery. Rubin said he was satisfied with Japan's policy plans, but it's no secret Japan will have to tighten those policies at some point. The G7 agreed their biggest challenge is to reduce their budget deficits. This is Steve Beckner in Washington.
Republican presidential nominee Bob Dole today gave a preview of what he'll be talking about in the first presidential debate next week. NPR's Paul Miller has more.
Dole used his weekly radio address to ask listeners to be skeptical about any talk from President Clinton of a strong economy. Dole expects the president to brag about the economy in the upcoming debate, but Dole said the president won't talk about sluggish growth, a large trade deficit, or individuals who have not prospered recently.
He will not tell you that wages for men and women have been stagnant, and that has forced more spouses into the workforce just to make ends meet. And he won't tell you that bankruptcies last year were higher than ever before, and so was consumer debt as people struggle to pay their bills.
Dole may have a tough time convincing people the economy is in trouble, unemployment is down, and opinion polls show more people are happy with the way the economy is going. I'm Paul Miller in Washington.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has pledged never to close a controversial tunnel near an Islamic holy site in Jerusalem, despite the fact that the passageway has drawn the ire of Palestinians who have had violent clashes with Israeli authorities this week. Palestinian police managed to keep a lid on protests in most of the West Bank and Gaza today, but about 30 Palestinians and 9 Israeli soldiers were injured in scattered incidents. Both the U.S. and the United Nations have been trying to arrange a meeting between Netanyahu and Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat to try to avoid any more bloodshed. This is news from NPR. The House Ethics Committee has agreed to keep alive a complaint that Speaker Newt Gingrich broke federal gift and campaign finance laws. The panel dismissed the charge that Gingrich had improperly intervened with federal agencies on behalf of his contributors. And the Ethics Committee also dismissed allegations of financial irregularities against House Democratic leader Dick Gephardt. The Clinton administration is about to send Haiti thousands of documents confiscated by the U.S. military 2 years ago from the Haitian army and a pro-military party blamed for numerous deaths. George Guetta reports.
In response to Haitian requests, an initial shipment of documents described as non-sensitive was sent in January. The remainder will be delivered to Port-au-Prince shortly. Haiti has been seeking return of the documents, contending they could help police resolve some of the thousands of murders committed during the 1991-94 period of military rule. Since the Democratic government was reinstated, political killings are down sharply. But House Republicans say Haiti policy is not the success story the administration claims it is. They say political killings continue and that those responsible operate from within Haiti's palace guard. The administration says a purge of rogue elements is underway. For National Public Radio, I'm George Guetta at the State Department.
The United Nations Security Council has issued a statement deploring what it calls the brutal execution of former Afghanistan President Najibullah. He was killed by rebel forces who dragged him out of a UN compound where he had been holed up for 4 years. Najibullah had led a Moscow-backed government in Kabul for 6 years, during which he was accused of ordering the torture and execution of thousands of people. Najibullah's corpse was cut down from its wire noose in a public square in Kabul today and dumped outside a hospital, where it was picked up by the Red Cross. The rebels, who now control the capital city, have begun insisting on compliance with their strict version of Islamic law. I'm Craig Windham, National Public Radio News in Washington.
On Capitol Hill, the most contentious Congress in recent history is history. Almost. Early this morning, legislators and White House aides reached agreement on all the major policy and spending issues that were still outstanding. And although they say they still want to read the fine print, legislators said all the bills should pass, including sweeping efforts to restrict illegal immigration. As NPR's Peter Kenyon reports, this session of Congress could adjourn and disband as soon as Monday.
It was a groggy group of Republicans that faced reporters this morning after a second all-night bargaining session that finally tied up all the remaining loose ends of the adjournment package. House Majority Leader Dick Armey said he normally wouldn't see the sunrise on a Saturday morning unless he had a fishing pole in his hand, but he said it was worth it to see the 104th Congress come in ahead of schedule and under budget. Speaker Newt Gingrich admitted that Republicans had given in to White House demands, even in some areas where they disagreed strongly.
One of the lessons we learned that all of you reported is that you've got to find a way to work together to get things through the Senate. That you've got to find a way to get the signature of the president if you want to get it done.
What they got done was a catch-all spending bill that adds back $6.5 billion in domestic spending that President Clinton insisted on. In turn, the GOP protected an extra $8.5 billion in defense spending that the administration opposed. Controversial policy riders were softened, including a provision that could lead to faster distribution of U.S. aid to overseas family planning efforts. The delay was engineered by abortion opponents. The most contentious dispute and the last thing to be agreed upon was illegal immigration reform. Both the House and Senate had passed a bill that included a series of restrictions on legal immigrants that Democrats and the White House objected to. By rolling the bill into the larger spending package, the White House was able to get Republicans to drop some of the toughest provisions, including one that said legal immigrants who collected federal benefits for 12 months were deportable. A higher income threshold for residents wanting to sponsor immigrants was also lowered. Republicans tried to save their ban on illegal immigrants receiving AIDS treatment, but they eventually gave in and dropped that too. Senate Minority Leader Tom Daschle had a partisan explanation for what Democrats called the Republicans' legislative U-turn.
I believe that they're in the we're-not-so-bad phase. You know, they started the Congress in the extreme phase. Then they went into the presidential phase, where Bob Dole thought he could run his campaign from the Senate floor. And then they entered the we're-not-so-bad phase, and that's what we're in right now. We're not so bad. We're going to agree with you on all of these issues so you can't use them against us as you did last year.
Speaker Gingrich views the agreement quite differently.
We saved $53 billion. That's still true. In terms of the basic shape of the domestic government, it is moving in the direction we wanted. In terms of the defense budget, I don't believe we budged one inch off the defense bill. We're getting, I would say, by any reasonable standard, over 90% of the illegal immigration bill. Well, they got back about 1% at the margin of the domestic government.
The 104th Congress should complete its business by Monday, and then both those views will be tested on the campaign trail, after which voters will decide which party they want setting the legislative agenda in the 105th Congress. I'm Peter Kenyon at the Capitol.